And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Excuse me. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay other than which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. This one can be controversial, can it? Paul was very controversial. Beg pardon? Yeah. And what's new? Paul's always been controversial. You remember when we started this? Who's he writing it to? The Corinthians, which means what? Saturated or filled to excess. He's talking to first fruit, the ones that's been filled from before the foundation of the world, okay? Now, here he's talking to him, starting his third chapter, and he's giving them a reprimand. Now, I know a lot of people teach this, that Paul was reprimanding the Corinthian people as just the Corinthian people. But I see this as Paul reprimanding first fruit because they're staying where they shouldn't be. They're not maturing and growing up. They're choosing to be babies, okay? And he says, starts out, says, and I, brethren, can, not could, but cannot speak to you as to spiritual. And the word spiritual is pneumaticus, which means non-carnal. I can't speak non-carnal. It means non-carnal. Pneumaticus, K-O-S on the end. It means non-carnal. Okay, so when we're talking about something, when we see this word spiritual in here, it really doesn't say spiritual, it says non-carnal. But if you're not carnal, what are you? Okay, but the language still says not carnal, okay? And somebody in their wisdom felt like they should say spiritual, you know, but it should say non-carnal. He said, I cannot speak to you as to non-carnal, but as to carnal. And the word carnal here is fleshly. Like, so I can't talk to you like you're in the spirit. I'm talking to you as a flesh person. Does that make sense to you? He said, I'm having to talk to you this way for a reason. I have to talk to you as a fleshly person because you're choosing to stay a baby. And that's what the whole problem with the church world today is. They're all a bunch of babies. And they get offended if you say anything about them. Well, grow up. That's what this book is about. This book is teaching us how to grow up and be men and women of God. Did you hear Jesus whine and cry about anything done to him? Well, then why should we be whining and crying? See? We should just stand up, be a man. Be a man about it. Be an adult about it. Don't just not just men or women. It's be an adult. Be mature about this thing. If Jesus did nothing wrong and he went through all the hell he went through and never murmured, he never complained, did he? He went through as a mute lamb. So that's our pattern. See? And Paul's admonishing them here, the first fruit people. He said, I've got to talk to you like you're still fleshly, even as to babies in Christ. Now this word baby here, what do you think it is? Nepios. Non-speaking, up to 2 years old. It's the word nepios. Okay? You know what the language literally says? Non-speaking infant, up to 2 years old, simple-minded, immature Christian. That's what the book says. That's what the language says about it. It's simple-minded, immature Christians. That sounds like a sheeple, don't it? He's scolding them all right. He said, I'm talking to you like you're an immature Christian, a simple-minded, immature Christian. You're an infant. You're a baby. And you can't even talk. Now, we're not talking about saying English words. What's he admonishing them for? They're not speaking spiritual words of God. See, they're just talking like a bunch of babies in the world, carnal people. They're fussing and fighting and quarreling, and that's what he's admonishing them in. He's been here before, talked to them, trained them in the ways of the Lord, showed them the Word of God, showed them things in power and authority. He had to travel on to do some other things, and when he comes back, they're the same thing as he left, or probably worse. They've reverted.
They became secular to be popular.
That's exactly what they've done. He said, I have fed you. And the word fed here literally means I saturated your mind. Did you hear that? The language here says, I didn't just feed you, I saturated your mind. I filled you to the brim with the Word of God, and what are you doing with it? Nothing. Do you hear that? Can someone hear what I'm saying? Filled you, saturated your mind with the Word of God. If your mind is saturated from the Word of God, why ain't you growing up? Because you're still wanting to murmur and complain and have the divisions and the arguments and the quarreling going on. Okay? He said, because hitherto you were not able to bear it. He said, neither yet are you able. You're still a bunch of babies. I've come back later to see you, and you're the same place I left you. You're still a bunch of babies. Now, I'm paraphrasing these words a little bit, but this is the spirit of what he's saying. We're not growing up. That's what's wrong with the whole church. They're acting like a bunch of babies. And you know what? They are. They are. That's not a slam. That's just an absolute statement of fact. They are a bunch of babies. All you've got to do is look at them the wrong way, and they go, wah, he looked at me the wrong way. It reminds me when I was a kid, and there was eight kids in the family, and we all got in the car and went someplace. First thing you'd hear is, he's touching me. She's looking at me. I mean, like a bunch of squalling babies. I lived in a family of eight kids. I know what they're like, and that's what the church world is. Instead of growing up and saying, hey, that don't mean anything. Just like Paul said in the last chapter. Remember what he said in the second verse? For I decided not to know anything about you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hear that. Hear that. You got to make a decision someplace in your mind to stop letting all this smoke and dust get in your eyes. Because when you let it get in there, and you let it get in there, you remember the old saying I use all the time? If you let somebody know where your goat is tied, what are they going to do? They're going to get your goat. And that's exactly what's happening in the church realm. They're letting somebody rub a blister on them. and then just pick at it and pick at it. And all they can do, rather than grow up, is guess what? They sit there and squall. They sit there and squall and act like little babies. It's just a social club, period. It's just a social club. Verse 3, he goes on to say this, because you are yet fleshly. He said you can't bear it because why? You're yet carnal or fleshly. Because since there is in you jealousy, what should we say? Envy should be jealousy. Because there is in you jealousy and strife, or literally quarreling, and divisions or dissensions, are you not what? Are you not what? Fleshly? And walk as what? Humanity, as humanity does. See? As long as I've got these things. Man, he's making it so simple for us, Bob. He said, if you've got this strife and division and carnality in you, man, you're still babies. It's that simple. Why can't they hear it? Which word didn't they understand? Huh? He said, if you're strife and jealousy and quarreling and these things going on in you, you are carnal. You're fleshly. Now, what part don't they understand about? And you know what they say? Well, I got it right. He done something to me. They didn't hear one thing that Paul said. Nothing. They don't hear one thing. It's a shame. You got to put away your own thinking. If you put on the mind of Christ, how could you ever come back with that kind of thinking? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you put this mind on that he says, Paul says, you already got it. We have the mind of Christ. He already put it within us. If we just begin to operate in this thinking process that God says, and every time my natural mind flares up and says, you got a right, slap it right in the side of the head. See? Put it aside. Don't listen to it. Huh? You've got to put yourself away. Your thinking process can't be it. Didn't James say a double-minded man's what? Unstable in what? All his ways. See, if I still have, if I say, I got the mind of Christ, and that's where most people that go to church say, well, we got the mind of Christ. I don't see it functioning. And you know what? They usually have closer to it than the ones that's in church. Oh, I understand. Yeah. They say they have the mind of Christ, but yet they've got a right to be offended. They'll quarrel with you. They'll fight with you. They'll have dissensions, won't they? Then Paul's a liar, right? Paul isn't a liar. He got it right. He knows exactly what he was saying was right. And you see, it's still yet carnal. And as long as we think, and this country is not the only one that thinks this way, but America is real good about this. They think we have rights because we are a country that says we are free. We're not free. Try to drive from here to wherever at any speed you want to and see if the state patrol won't hinder your trip. See if you can shoot somebody and get away with it.
Dave, that puts you in an uncompromising situation because the only people you can fellowship with is the people that mislead you. After you're out of them so long, you're going to blame them and be just like them.
That's right.
So the only other choice you have is to be this.
Well, let me ask you a question, Bob. If that's the pattern you see, and I see the same pattern, wasn't every man or woman of God in this book, they were isolated? They didn't like being a loner, but they didn't have any option, did they? And the book says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good lifestyle, see? Yep. That's the way it has to be. So you can't walk with God in a crowd of people. Now, I can walk through a crowd of people and be alone. I mean, I can go in a room with thousands of people in it and absolutely be alone. They don't even know I'm there. Or if they know I'm there, they're trying to get away from me. It's okay. See, I know my position. I know where I'm at. And it doesn't offend me that these people do these things. I can see it clearly what they're doing. They don't realize what they're doing. Right? Jesus said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. We have to realize we have to say the same things. When they do those things to us, it's okay. Verse 4, let's go on to that. Because while one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not yet what? See, you're still fleshly, right? You're still carnal. You're fleshly indeed, huh? You're still yet fleshly. Mm-hmm. Now, and walk as humanity. I'm in the wrong verse. Okay, I'm down the next verse. Okay. For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not what? That word's not right. What do you think that word is? Somebody tell me what that word is? The word for carnal here, it's totally out of something, nothing to do with carnal. It's the word anthropos.
What verse are you in?
Four. The end of the fourth verse, the last word where it says, what's it say? The last part of the fourth verse. Are you not yet carnal? Huh? As men. That's what the word is. It's anthropos. You're walking as a natural human being. See? As long as that stuff's going in. If you say, ordinary unchanged man. Just like the people running around saying, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm an apostolic, I'm kingdom. What are you? No. You're still labeling yourself and trying to make yourself better. And he said, if you're doing that, you're walking as a mere man if you put a label on yourself. Do you hear what I'm saying? If I tell anybody I'm anything other than a child of God and I lay claim to it, when I lay claim to being a Baptist or a Pentecostal or whatever, I'm saying I'm better than somebody else. That's what I'm honestly saying in my heart. Right. And God says, that's what Paul's saying here, by the Spirit, if I label myself anything other than a son of God, I'm walking in pride. See, I'm looking down at somebody. And that's why he's pointing it out. No, I don't. I call myself a son of God. I do too. I will not call myself those.
Son of God or child of God.
Son of God or child of God. The only two things you hear me say I am. Okay? And that's what I believe the Spirit of God is trying to teach us here. We don't need to walk as mere men, do we? Verse 5, he goes on and says this. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos except what? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gives to every man. Not gate, excuse me, as he gives to every man.
What is Apollos?
It's just he was a man who just was a teacher.
He was Apollos from Greek mythology?
No. This man's name was Apollos. He was just a disciple of Christ who taught. That's all. He was a good teacher. He was just a good teacher. Okay. He was a man of God. He really was. Okay. And Paul goes on to say this in verse 6. I have planted and Apollos watered. But who gave the increase? It doesn't make any difference. We are all servants of one God. There is only one God. And that's why I'm saying if anybody labels themselves as being this denomination, that denomination, it doesn't make any difference. All you're doing is telling me you're still immature and haven't figured out what God's doing yet. You're hanging on to humanistic doctrines that some man or woman has devised to keep your mind confused so they can get your money and control you. That's all it is, pure and simple. And God wants us to be free, okay? If we're free, guess what we can do? If I'm free, I can manifest the Spirit of God in my life. But as long as I'm bound up under the doctrines of a man or a woman or an organization, I have no liberty to express Christ. True or false? If I am bound up by the tradition of this, I can't do what God tells me. I have to listen to what these people in this organization tells me. That's not liberty, is it? God come to set us free so we could manifest ourselves in this humanity. Would you believe that's true? Didn't the book say that our purpose was that we bear much fruit back to the Father? How can I bear fruit to the Father if I am bound up in some religious organization that tells me I can't do this and I have to do that? It'll be the wild poisonous berries. Stinking poisonous berries, right? Out of Isaiah 5. That's all we'll produce, and that's all the church is producing. Now, I'm not knocking the church. There's a place for it. I had to go through it. Most people think I knock the church. I'm not knocking the church. I'm just saying don't stay there. When I was in the first grade, it was the most wonderful experience I had at the time. But when that year ended, I had to go on to the second grade. And I kind of thought second grade was pretty neat. I started liking girls then. See, so it was an exciting time for me. Then I went to, there was another year. I had to go to the third grade. And every year there's another progression ender. It's the same thing with God. If we stay in these religious organizations, religious social clubs, we're never going to really get back to God, are we? Didn't he say, come out from amongst them and be ye a separate people? There's another place where he says, come out from among her and touch not the unclean thing. See, we've got to separate from them somewhere. You got to come away from mama. You got to come out of her womb somewhere. And the church system is what births us in there. It gets us started. Okay? Gets us on the track, and then God brings us on in. Okay. Verse 7. So then, neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. So he's saying it's not important about who's sowing and who's watering, because someone's going to do it, aren't they? See, that's not the important. The important thing is God gave the increase. See, who gets all the glory? Father gets it all. He says, I'll not share my glory with another man. True? Well, you know what? He's not talking about somebody named Joe over here or Larry or Bob or Ed or anybody. He's not talking about that. He's not even talking about you as a person. I'm not going to share my glory with anyone in humanity. The only one I'm going to share it with is my Son, Christ. Do you hear me? I'm going to share my glory with Christ. Only one that's going to get it. If I'm not in Christed, guess what? I'm not going to have any glory, am I? It's got to be about that spirit that he's placed within us and letting him come to full maturity. Verse 8. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. Why would he say that he that plants and he that waters is one? It's just being a servant of God, right? Just like he said in verse 5, but we're all servants through whom you believed. That's all. Now, if someone believes because of what I minister to them, does that make me anything? God was the one through the Spirit that brought them to there. If he speaks through me as a vessel, that makes no star on my chest, does it? He gave me information to pass to you, and you hear it. What do I get a star for? I'm just doing what I'm told, right? I'm just being obedient. Nothing else. And I know my reward. I don't have to worry about it. God will take care of that. I don't have to try to keep score. Now, you owe me this much, God. You owe me that much, God. No, I just do what I'm told. At the end, he'll take care of whatever I need. He's taking care of it already. I never heard anything anyway if I think he owes me something. But there's people like that. Okay? Now, he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, why would Paul say you're going to receive a reward according to your own labor? I can't do it for you, right? You've got to do it yourself. I'm going to give you all the tools, all the information I can give, but you have to spend time with God. Simple as that. You have to spend time with God. I think everyone in this room knows it. We have to spend time with God. Verse 9, and here's why. Because we are laborers together with God. How can I labor with someone if I never spend time with them and find out what their plan is? I can't do God's work if I don't know what his purpose and plan is. True or false? He's the one that's got the plan and purpose, right? I've got to spend time with him to find out what his plan and purpose is. For 1 minute, I don't think that I've got everything that God's got, and I don't need to study anymore. I've had a lot of people ask me that. Well, how come you're studying every day? What, are you stupid? Can't learn nothing? You ought to have that book memorized all these years. Well, it's not about memorization. It's about the Spirit of God and teaching by the Spirit and hearing what the Spirit's saying. And this is a progressive walk with God. As I walk today, I didn't walk that way weeks back or months back or years back. And what I learned years ago today has become a greater truth than what I knew it as back then. I know what I knew then, but now I can see deeper into what I'm looking at. I'm higher level in the Spirit where I can see much greater distance out there. I can see a lot more of God's purpose. I didn't understand years ago what I'd understand now, and what I understand today, I certainly hope tomorrow I learn something else. And I hope every day the rest of my life I learn something else about God, something a greater depth into His Word. I don't think it's over with yet by any stretch of the imagination, because this book is alive, and I have to change to what this book shows me as a pattern. I don't have to change. I have to realize in my mind that I'm already there, and this book will take me there. But it says, because we are laborers together with God, you are God's what? No. It says you are God's husbandry. Literally, you are His farmers. Okay? The word husbandry means farmer. You're God's farmers. In other words, remember the parable about the vineyard? He lent it out to the other farmers to take care of things. It said husbandry, same word. You know what I'm talking about? See, we are the ones that's going to work the earth. Now, we're not necessarily talking about plowing furrows in the ground, are we? We're talking about working my earth first. See, the earth that I'm walking in today, that's the earth that I have to cultivate. Luke 9:62. But see, we have to cultivate our own soil first. If I can't get my thinking process, myself in order, how can I help anybody else, Ed? If I'm still a mess, if I'm still in confusion, I can't help nobody else. And that's what's wrong with the church system. See, no one has an accountability or a responsibility to get themselves in order first. The preachers run around doing all these crazy things, sexually molesting people, you know, little children, little defenseless kids, you know, taking advantage of women and men that's having marital problems, and they're in a moment of crisis in their life and needing someone to listen to them, and then taking advantage of it and sleeping with the women. See, all these things going on. Taking the finances and robbing the people. All these things going on in the ministry. And if you say anything to one of these ministries, you know what they'll say to you? Who are you to judge me? But you know what? Let's just go a little farther in this book we're in right now, in chapter 7. Know ye not that we'll judge angels and even the world? And you can't judge one of these smallest matters amongst yourselves? See? We are to judge. And that don't mean to condemn anybody, but we have to be able to judge right from wrong. And if we listen to what's being taught today, boy, it's pretty hard to judge anything, because they're putting you in condemnation and guilt. But we have to learn, we have to make a decision in our own mind what's right and wrong by the Spirit of God, don't we? And if you spend time with God, you won't have any problem making those decisions. You'll do exactly what you're supposed to. He goes on and says in this ninth verse, you are God's farmer, and the next words, you are God's building. The words you are added words. You are God's farmer, God's, and those two words shouldn't be there, God's building. Now the word building is oikodome, and it means you are God's architecture or God's design. It says you are God's architecture or God's design. That's what that word means. See, we were designed by God to be a farmer, to cultivate the land. Now, not a farmer of the earth out there we're walking on, but the earth we're walking in. This is what I'm supposed to cultivate and bring it back to that where it should be. This is the earth. Okay? And here's how you do it, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given to me. How did Paul do what he did? Through the grace of God, that divine influence in God's into Paul, in Paul's heart, and it reflected out into his lifestyle. And said, that grace which was given to me as a wise what? Architect. Language says architect, master builder, architect. I have laid the foundation. You want to tell you how bold a statement that was? That's a bold, confident statement. People say, how could he say something like that? That was just Paul the Apostle. Uh-huh. The Spirit of God in him said, I have laid the foundation. Paul preached the Word of God, which nobody else preached. Didn't he not? He preached things that nobody else did. He said things nobody else said. He clarified things from the Old Testament that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world, and God revealed them through this man. And that's why you can say, I've laid the foundation. Man, that's a confident statement. I have laid the foundation. And then he's going to tell you what the foundation is. He's going to tell you what the foundation is. He said, I've laid the foundation as a wise master builder, and another builds thereupon. But let every man look at how he builds thereupon. He said, everybody's going to build on my foundation. Because Jesus came and said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. But you know what Paul did? Paul came and gave you that meat. That's why Peter said in 2 Peter 3, 15 through 20, he said, our beloved brother Paul in all of his epistles writes of things hard to be understood. And those that are unlearned and unstable wrestle them to their own destruction as they do the rest of the Scriptures. In other words, he's saying they don't know anything about anything. Right? They don't know anything about the Scripture. Paul is telling you, I have it from the Spirit of God. I've laid this foundation. Now, watch how you build on it. The foundation's here. You can build on it, but you better be sure how you build it. Isn't that an admonition again? Isn't he admonishing those people again? Watch how you build on this foundation. See, everybody says they're building upon Christ. Every denominational church you want to go to out here is building on Christ in their own minds, they think, don't they? Paul said, but you better watch how you build on it. Don't be building no crooked buildings. Make sure that building's plumb and square and true. And see, they're not doing that. You know why they're not doing that? Because they're not using the Word of God. There's all these conflicts, these wrestlings and, what do you say, quarrelings, envyings, jealousy, division, strife. See, it's carnal. So they haven't heard anything yet, have they? Verse 11. Because another foundation can no man lay that other than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He said, I've laid the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's a bold statement. What he's telling you is what I have told you is the truth. Wouldn't you understand that to be what he said? He says, I have laid the foundation of Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus say, I am the truth? What do you think Paul's telling us? I am telling you the truth. That's what Paul's telling us. I have told you exactly what you need for your foundation that you can raise up the tabernacle of God in your life. Man, what more do you need? The foundation is the most costly and time-consuming part of your building. You've got to make sure that's right. And see, most people don't care about the foundation. They want to throw up the big fancy building. Put a big fancy suit on, put a big fancy hat on, and strut it out. That's not what it's about. That's not at all what it's about. Look at verse 12. Look what he says. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, what foundation? The foundation of Jesus Christ. Gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. He said you can build, there's six different ways you can build there, isn't there? Gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold is redemption. Gold is the nature of God. Silver, redemption. Precious stones, what is that? The nature and character of God also. You can do it wood, hay, or stubble. All three of those speak of humanity, right? And he goes on to 13th verse to say this. Every man's work shall what? Not be made, but should become apparent. Every man's work shall become apparent. Because the day, wonder what day it is? The day of the Lord. The day shall do what? It shall make it plain by the word. That language right there where it says declare it, it should be make it plain by the word. See, the word was going to reveal everything about you and I, true or false. See, the word's going to judge everyone. So guess what? The word's going to declare it by the word. It'll make it plain by the word. Because it shall be revealed, what? In fire. Oh, testings. Right? You can go to Joel 2 and 5, Exodus 3 and 2, Hebrews 1 and 7, Revelation 1:14, Revelation 2:18, and Revelation 19 and 12. All those say everything's going to be revealed in the fire. Okay? There's enough witnesses there, isn't there? Not exhaustive, that's just plenty of them. You only need two or three. I give you, what, five or six? Six of them. That's plenty. So everything's going to be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody going to church, and most of the people that's been in church and left the church, say, I'm building upon that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. And honey, the only thing it's going to reveal, that's the truth. And you know what most of them is going to be saying? Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils and heal the sick? And he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you got your instructions because you surely didn't get them from me. Well, sure, it's the natural man quoting. He thought he earned something by his work. I know you not, you workers of iniquity. And he just said by that prophesying, praying in tongues, prophesying, casting out devils and healing the sick was iniquity. That's what he said. Yep. They were done under the flesh, not under the spirit. They were done soulishly. Okay? Verse 14. If any man's work remain which he has built, he shall receive a reward. So if your work does not get burned up, guess what? You got a reward. That sound like that Proverbs 17:2? A wise servant shall have rule over his son that causes shame, and he will have part of the inheritance among the brethren. If your work's burned up, you're not getting an inheritance, are you?
What is the reward? The knowledge of the truth.
Exodus chapter 15. I think it's Exodus, or maybe it's Genesis 15. Genesis 15, I think. I just rethought my brain there a little bit. See what Genesis 15 says. Yeah, Genesis 15:1. Genesis 15:1. Wait just a second, everybody gets there. Are we there? Genesis chapter 15:1. Here's the reward, Bob. Watch this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Did you hear that? When all the fleshy things are burned up, guess what's standing there? God. That's my reward. See, even in the Levitical priesthood, they had no inheritance in the land, did they? But guess what they had? God. I'll trade the world for God. Oh yeah. He said, though I be tried, the Lord knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job 23:10. The fire is what's trying us and proving us what we are. Now, do you know why that test is? Does anybody know why God puts us in these tests? It's not for him to figure out what you're made out of. It's for you to see what you're made out of. See, when you go through this fire, Bub, when you go through this fire and you walk out the other side and you're still smiling and whistling as you walk down the path, tell me what kind of nature that is. That's right. You've got to know what God has got deposited in you, Bob. It's not about what somebody says. It's not about me saying, hey, Bob, you got this, 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 and this. You won't believe that. You have to experience it, don't you, Ed? You got to know what God's put in you. And until you know, it's just hearsay to you, isn't it? I can tell you you're anything and everything. It don't mean a thing to you until you experience it yourself. I could be dead right, but you still don't believe it until you experience it. And that's what your test is all about. When you go through the fire, you can say, aha, I know what I got in me now. Nobody can take that away from you. When you get that experience of God in your life, and that's what this is talking about, this fire, nobody can take it away from you. I've had people that's given me a hard time. I've got people that's given me a hard time about things I've accomplished in my life. But you know what? I've looked at them and said, you can deny or disbelieve all you want to, but I experienced it, and you can't take it out of my mind. You can't take it out because it was my experience. And just because they sat on their couch in their house and never got out and experienced anything in life, does that mean I didn't? See? If in their mind they can't believe anybody did those things, does that mean that?
I think the world, you know, let's say you think that you're a failure.
Mm-hmm. That's a success.
And somebody doesn't experience tragedy and stuff.
They're a failure.
They're self-success.
But they're a failure.
I know that, but I say that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You never do anything.
Yeah, but they never tried.
That's
right. And if you never try anything, you will make mistakes. But that's how you learn. It's a good thing. It's a gift of God. Okay, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be what? Delivered. But in this way, through fire. You're going to be delivered, but you're going to go through the fire to get there. No way out. Is anybody getting out of it? Did the book say the sun shines on the good and the evil? The rain falls on the just and the unjust? Everybody gets a dose of it. There's no free pass in this thing. That's right. You can't be the ashes falling through until you've been burned up. Okay. Verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? You know what that word temple there means? It's the naos. Okay, the Hieron speaks of the literal temple. This speaks of the spiritual temple. And it includes two pieces. And right here it is. This word naos means this. It doesn't mean outer court, holy place, and holy of holies. It means two places. It means the holy place and the holy of holies. There's your New Testament pattern to the New Testament temple. To the new covenant. Right there it is. There's your pattern. See, this is speaking of the holy place and the holy of holies, which is the new covenant. Know you not that you are the temple or the naos of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. Now you can get people to say all day long, oh, yeah, Jesus lives in me, and I'm waiting for him to come back. Jesus doesn't live in me. Christ lives in me. Oh, I understand that. That's why I made the statement. Because they tell me all the time, yeah, he lives, God lives in me, but I'm waiting for him to come back. That's an oxymoron. One way or the other, isn't it? You've got to use your head and think. And then. He can't be both ways. He's not still out there and in you at the same time. But I know he's within all humanity, see? Even if they don't know it. If any man do what? Defile or destroy, not destroy, but defile the temple of God, him shall God defile. Not destroy, defile. Because the temple of God is what? Holy, which you are. So what's he telling you? You are? You're holy. Well, how can I be a sinner if I am holy? Hello? Well, the church tells you you're a sinner, don't they? How can I be a sinner, Bob, if God just said, Paul just said, we are the temple of God, and the temple of God is holy. Temple you are. It's an impossibility. See? It's an absolute oxymoron to tell someone that's a temple, they're a temple of God, and then say, I'm a sinner. They're contradictory statements. Immediately, something's wrong. Of course, most people don't think that far, so they don't see any problem with being a sinner and still being holy. Because that person is double-minded, just like James said, and they're messed up in all their ways.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And that was under the law, Bob. Jesus made a statement under the law. that's all right. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Let no man deceive himself. Did you hear what he just said? Who deceives you? Yourself. See, everybody, and there's so many people afraid of what I teach. There's people that's intimidated by what I say. And you know what? I can't deceive anybody.
Only deceive yourself.
I can only deceive myself. And just so is everybody else. If anyone is deceived, who deceived them? This Bible says deception comes from within. That's what he's saying right there. You deceive yourself. No, that's in my flesh is where I'm deceived. See, comes from within me. See, nobody, I don't have to worry about anybody deceiving me. Can you tell me why I don't have to worry about that? I got two reasons why. One, I know the Word of God. And I know who I am in Christ. And Jesus said this, if it were possible, even the very elect should be deceived. And I asked God, how do I know I am in that elect? And you know what he said? Know my word. So you know what I've dedicated my life to do? Know His Word, and through knowing His Word, I know Him. I know everything about His nature and character by His Word, because His Word is His thought process. True or false? Know His Word, and you'll know everything you need to know about God, because you'll meet Him in these pages. He'll show you who He really is. He'll reveal Himself through this. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you thinks himself to be wise in this age, not world, but age, let him, what? Become a fool in order that he, what? Become wise.
Would that be become, or is it let him be fool? That means be wise.
Well, the word is genomei, okay? It's not the word be, okay? It's become. So let him become a fool in order that he become wise. Let him become a fool. Now, he's not telling you to act like a fool of the world. He's saying become foolish in the eyes of the world. See? Let them think you to be a fool. Who cares? See, there's where the wisdom of God comes. As long as you're concerned about your reputation and how people think about you, guess what? You're caught up in this thing. Pride of life. What else is it? The three or four things there he says? The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what you're caught up in if you're concerned with what people think about you. He said, if you think yourself wise, you're a fool.
What's it say in Proverbs 3:17?
God hates. Proverbs chapter 6 is where it's at. These seven things God hates. It falls in that category. Yep. Let me read that verse 18 again. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you thinks himself to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, okay, in order that he become wise. Or let the world think of you as a fool, so you can take on the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of this world is what? Absurdity with God. It's absurd. What their wisdom is, they think is wisdom. God says it isn't anything. It doesn't mean anything to God. Because it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. They think they're making a bed for themselves of protection, a shield around them, and it means nothing. In their wisdom, they think that they can outthink God. Most people get so wise that they trap themselves in their own trappings. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are what? They're empty, profitless, or useless. The thoughts of the wise are empty, profitless, and useless. Therefore, let no man boast in humanity, because all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. What are we lacking, guys? Nothing. Now, the world may tell us we're fools, but you know what? They tell me I'm crazy, and I say, yeah, I'm crazy about him. They tell me I've lost my mind. I said, yeah, I don't want that stinking thing back. I've got his now. Why do I want to go back to that stuff again? I've got peace in my life that most people would die for, and yet they accuse me of being messed up. I'm not ignorant about what's going on. God showed me a lot of things. And I know I have that peace in my life because I no longer rant and rave. I no longer have jealousy and envy and strife and divisions in my life. The only division in my life is when somebody chooses to walk away from me. I haven't run anybody away. My family, my friends, or people in the fellowship, I don't run nobody away. They all choose to leave on their own. What have I got to do with that? I haven't got anything to do with it. If they choose to be offended, if they want to be jealous or envious or have strife and divisions, I can't control someone else's life, can I? Hey, I'm not a spiritual sheriff. I've not been set up to do things like that. So I don't do anything like that. If somebody wants to go, let them go. Lifetime. There you go. Okay? He said, all these are yours, and you are Christ's. But you know what? That's not what it says. It says, you are Christ. You are Christos. Now, what's that tell you? It doesn't say, and this is because of translation, we're missing something here. It does not say, you are Christ. That's just the way the word is translated. The last verse, 23. You are anointed. That's what that word means, Christos, anointed. Okay? It's the word that they translate Christ most of the time. But it's not saying you are Christ. It's saying you are anointed. That's what the word Christos means, isn't it? Unless I, boy, I really missed something bad. That's what that word
means.
Anointed. That's the same word. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. It's a Greek word, Christos. And that's the word that they've... Well, that's the word for Christ, that they've interpreted all through the Scriptures as Christ. But the word Christos means anointed.
Okay.
Jesus the anointed, Jesus the Christ. Okay? And they've took a play on the word. They've, what they call that word when they transliterated the word from the Greek to the English and took Christos and made Christ out of it. But the language says anointed. So look what it says here. You are anointed, okay, and the anointing is of God. That's all it's saying. It's not saying you are Christ. It's saying you're anointed, and that anointing is of God. Hello? Where's the anointing come from? That's all this is saying. It's not saying that you are Christ. See, we're part of the Christ. If it says you are Christ, then Jesus was an imposter. I'm not Christ. Are you? I'm part of the Christ, but see, I'm part of that anointing. I have His anointing. 1 John 2 and 20 says, you have an unction, the King James. Literally, it should say, you have an anointing, and you know all things. See? It's an anointing that we have. Well, this anointing is not something like the church world talks about, because the church world says, oh, I feel an anointing tonight. Well, you know what? That has nothing to do with it. That's soulish emotions you're running through. The anointing is the Christ within you. And if you've ever been anointed, you're still anointed. If you ever had Christ in you, He's still there. My book says it, and so does yours. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So how could you have Christos, the anointing, and Him ever leave you? Tell me, Bob, how could you do it? I know you can't, because as soon as He leaves, you drop dead. He is the breath of life in you, the anointing. You can't live without it. You can't live without it, especially once you've tasted of it. I am done.